Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
First John chapter 4, verse 16. And as you do that, please join me in prayer as we pray over God's word. Father, as we turn our attention to what you want to say to us out of this scripture, we ask that you'd speak individually to each person, that you would make yourself known to us, that you would let us understand the wisdom of your kingdom. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is a light to our feet. And I ask that as we go into the future with you, that your word would actually cause a hunger and thirst in us for righteousness. And I thank you for this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. All right, what we want to do is we want to look at the passage and talk about the idea of dealing with fear in our lives. Fear is common, isn't it? We all deal with fear at some season in our life. We find ourselves struggling with either financial fear or relational fear or just fear of living in a fallen world. And so fear is something that you and I have to learn to deal with. And the Bible actually comes to us and begins to talk to us about how God wants you to approach this topic. Now, when I had done the overview of the idea of fear, really the biggest concept of fear in the Bible is not you have fear, here's how God wants you to deal with it. The biggest concept of fear is the fear of the Lord. And so I'm not going to teach on the fear of the Lord. I'm going to be very specific on the fears that we deal with. And this is actually the main scripture that talks about the idea that you and I have fear. How does God want us to overcome it? Or better way of saying it is, how does God want to overcome it for us? Because it's a work that he does inside of you and I. Overcoming fear isn't something that I try to perfect. I learn to understand how God wants to engage me to overcome my fear. And so let's read the passage. It says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in love. Now, what we want to do is we just want to take the words and start giving definition to them. If you guys are like I am, I always think I know what a word means in Scripture because we use the word in our culture. You find something out about language as you study it. Different cultures at different times in human history use a word, and as the generations move on, they take the word and they kind of make it fit a lot of different things it's not supposed to when it's spoken in that context. So the word fear here is phobia in the Greek. It doesn't mean a reaction to something, at least in this passage. It actually means to flee from something or to withdraw yourself. Now, think about what it's first saying here. There is no fear in love. So the concept that is trying to be given across here about the idea of fear, at least in this passage, is the idea of you and I withdrawing ourselves from God or withdrawing ourselves from love. So the Bible now is taking the idea of love as being the highest standard of what you're to live in as a lifestyle. And fear causes you to pull back from the idea of receiving love and expressing love in your lifetime. It says, but perfect love casts out fear. So the word perfect here is very interesting. It actually means that there's a goal and you're trying to reach it. It doesn't mean perfect in the sense that God is perfect. It actually means mature. So we could translate literally the passage here that God is wanting you to experience mature love. Now, there are a lot of different ways that we actually express the idea of love. Most of the time in the culture, we talk about romantic love, and it's about an emotion. There's nothing wrong with that. God has created us for that. But there's something greater than just an emotional experience of love. It's the idea of connecting with mature love. Mature love has an ability to deal with the issues of the heart and mind when we are feeling like, is God with me? What do I do when I face this trouble in my life? What is it going to look like for my future? Now, because fear can go into so many different directions, a lot of people have to understand that there is mature love that will come into that situation. So let's keep reading the passage. Go back to the scripture with me here. And then it says this. Because fear involves punishment. Now, very interesting enough, there's a reality that you and I are dealing with, whether we acknowledge it or not. And it's talked about a little bit in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, it talks about the fact that everybody has the law of God written on their heart, whether they acknowledge it or not. And because of that, they realize that when they violate the law and they participate in a lifestyle that they know is against the law, what happens is their conscience feels it. My conscience feels when I break God's law, whether I acknowledge it or not. So does yours. And when that happens, you realize that the breaking of laws means that on the other end, there's a day where you're going to be held accountable for that and punished for that. And so now the Bible is dealing with types of fear that really is connecting with you. Why are we afraid of things? Well, ultimately, the word for fear here in this part of the scripture doesn't mean just terror or shaking. The punishment here actually means a torment from living in dread of an upcoming judgment or from shrinking from one's duty. So when the Bible says here that fear has to do with punishment, there's a malaise or an effect that starts happening in the souls of people when it comes to fear in general. It's just not an emotion. It's an idea that you're being punished for something or that you're going to face a punishment. You guys ever have a fun experience? I remember one time I got caught by the police speeding in downtown Kansas City, which, you know, all of us get pulled over for speeding. But this time I went so far over the speed limit that I had to go appear before a judge. That was such a fun experience. Walk into this courtroom, and everyone in the courtroom has to now stand before the judge and give an account for what they did. And the first three people that went in front of me argued with the judge, and it made the judge really mad at them, so the judge increased their fine. So I was trying to figure out how to get out of this situation, and after that, I got that ticket, literally for a month, I was in torment of going to that court. What is the judge going to do to me? What is my life going to look like after this experience? And does your mind ever run wild with fear? I went from getting a parking ticket to being in federal prison for the next 20 years. That's where my mind went with this. And so I was just terrified when I went in there. And I'm watching these guys argue with the judge, and I think, wow, that's not the best thing to do. And then I get up there, and the judge says, now, did you speed? And I said, yes. And they said, why didn't you have insurance with you? And I said, well, because it was a company car. And they said, okay, where's the insurance? I show it to them. And the judge goes, she looks at me, and I'm not arguing with her. And I guess she was grateful that I wasn't giving her all stuff. She just said, you don't have to pay the fine. She just let me go. Now, when that happened, there was a kind of a sense of rejoicing going on in me. And I didn't think it was appropriate, but I thought about actually screaming really loud and skipping out. I was delivered from the punishment. Now, that's an interesting word that's actually being used here in this passage. It talks about the idea that people know this is coming in their lives. And so they try to figure out, how do I deal with that torment? And sometimes we're not really good at it, are we? So we try to go to things that are going on in the world to stop that tormenting feeling going on. Some of us go to entertainment. Some of us go to food. Some of us think, well, if I'm going to be punished for this, I might as well just indulge in it because I'm going to pay for it someday. And yet, the reality of it is the Bible is now coming to you and saying, you don't have to go that direction. There's another solution to this thing that's going on inside of you and I that actually will make you live in freedom. Now, if you've ever had a lifestyle being more fearful than full of faith, this is good news. Because it actually means that you don't have to get stuck with the idea of being tormented over anything because of mature love being expressed to you and I. Let's keep looking at the passage. For the one who fears is not perfected in love. Perfected. So we have perfect, and then we have perfected. And the word here for perfected means there's a process of love that you and I go through. So I have an area of fear in my life. It's a simple fear or a great fear. There's a process of love that gets expressed to you to the point where it breaks the power of fear. And so when it says perfect love casts out fear, or the passage that we looked at, sorry, let me go back and quote it correctly. It says, the one who fears is not perfected in love. It's actually showing that you can actually be brought to a mature place in love to where you do not have that fear in that arena again. Now, it's not fun to look at a group of people and say, do you guys have reoccurring fears? Do you feel like you've overcome one area of fear in your life and it's like you just get plunged into another area and you think, what's this? What is this that's going on? Now, I didn't understand this for years. I thought being a Christian means I never struggle with fear. I never struggle with depression. I mean, I know Jesus. I mean, isn't that a simple way of saying something like that? But I think the reality of Christianity is a little more fuller than that. I think we do struggle with these things, but Jesus walks with us through it and ultimately delivers us of it. Well, how does he actually do that? First thing we're going to do is we're now going to take a moment and we're going to bring the difference between fear, the contrast between fear and love. I kind of gave you the word here. It says that love in this passage, perfect love, has to do with a mature love. So if you grow up in a culture or a family where you've not seen mature love expressed to you, the natural tendency in your heart is to be afraid of something. So think about this. Whatever seems to be the main fear that comes up in your soul, after you come into Christ, I used to say, well, why do I have to deal with that again? I know Jesus. It would actually intentionally come up, and I'd find the Lord coming into that place of that fear and beginning to show his love to me so that it would be broken inside of me. I've tried to be honest with you guys when I come here and I talk to you about my own struggles. I grew up in a household where my parents argued all the time. Just argued all the time. That's how they talked to each other, arguing all the time. They were mad at each other. They held grudges against each other. And then by the time I was in the sixth grade, they started having separating from each other. And by the time I got to be a sophomore in high school, they had divorced. And as a child watching that, that's not a very mature expression of love. And so this fear entered into me that marriages can't be trusted. And so I made a judgment in my mind. I'm never going to get married. Remember one day I'm sitting with my father. I'm 20 years old. And he's talking to me about relationships with women. And I was seeing women. But at this point in my life, since I had made a decision not to get married, I was using women as objects. I wasn't respecting them or honoring them as people. And my father says, are you ever going to get married? I said, no. He says, why not? And I said, because you cannot trust marriage. And I'm saying this to my father, who's divorced, and he can't say anything in response because from their modeling, that was a true statement in my life. So how did God actually deal with that? Now, you guys ready? It wasn't that I didn't want to get married. I didn't have an expression of mature love being modeled to me, so I had nothing to base my life on. So I meet my wife. And all of a sudden, I wanted to engage myself in relationship. And as we were progressing along, especially as a guy, you realize you reach a certain place in the relationship where you have to actually ask her to marry you, or that's the end of the relationship. And I remember this intense fear of making a commitment because I actually believe that even though we loved each other at this point, after I made this commitment to her, we would get tired of each other and our love would diminish and then we'd end up just not even being interested in each other and divorce. That's what I'd seen modeled in my life. That's what I'd seen modeled in my culture. I had an intense fear of what love actually looked like. Now, I'm just describing this to you. I'll finish the story here. But do you know that most people don't engage in certain things in their life because they expect that the love that's expressed in that thing will not be mature, and they are expecting to be disappointed, and so they don't even give themselves to the process anymore. Now, here's the thing about Christianity. Christianity says, no, the risk is worth it because you can step into mature love. You can experience it. It really will satisfy the longing you have. Now, there's a longing in me and you. It's so that the love of God will actually become tangible and real in such a significant way that it nurtures me and I come home to the place that God wants me to be, which is a place of security in His relationship with Him. I don't have fear of the future. I don't have fear of punishment. I don't have fear for the things I live and I give myself to today. It's a great place. So what ultimately happened? Kelly and I get married. Literally, the first year of marriage, I just walked on eggshells just fearing that I was going to lose love. Now, in the wisdom of God, He used that as a place to begin to start talking to me about what love actually looks like and how I was to start acting as a husband to nurture love. And I actually didn't realize you could actually nurture love. Isn't that funny to say that? Now, I'm sure that after I say this, I'm looking at the door right now because I'm going to start running for it after I make this statement. But I think most of the women in this room probably are wanting to poke their husband in the eyes right now and say, would you listen to him? He actually says you can nurture love. One of the values that God actually showed me is I had actually worked and figured out how to find out what Kelly what felt loved by and nurtured that while we were dating. So after we got done dating, he says, now, if you want your marriage to actually grow, you need to learn how to nurture Kelly in every area of your life. And so since the time that Kelly and I have been married to this day, I'll go home and do this Tuesday when I get home. My wife and I continually date each other. She might be my wife, and she might be the mother of my children, but first and foremost, she's the woman I want to intentionally express love to. Now, why am I saying that? I keep using the term mature love. Because the word for love here in this passage means it's a mature love and it can be nurtured. But the word here for love, agape, everyone throws this out in Christianity, but the way it's used here in this passage, the word agape is God's kind of love, but in the Greek it means preferred love or intentional love. So we ask the question, how does perfect love contrast to fear? Fear is I withdraw because I don't think mature love is going to be expressed to me, and God in His relationship with me is intentionally trying to show you, now when I do this in your life, I'm showing you what mature love, and I'm also showing you my heart. I prefer to show you this love. I'm intentional to show you this love. I don't just love and sit back and go, isn't that fun? Now suffer. He says, I love, and to get it across, I'm going to intentionally nurture it in you, and I'm going to get you to a place where you enjoy the fact that I love you, and you're going to begin to accept it as a normal part of your life, and then what it's going to do is it's going to settle you and I. And all of a sudden, the thing that we were afraid of, we overcome because of being nurtured in love. So that process, I started seeing, oh, here's a key. Whenever fear comes up in my heart, God's with me in the middle of this. And so He's not trying to just teach me how to struggle with it. He's trying to meet me in it and love me in it through the process of it so that I never have to be afraid of that thing that I'm struggling with. Now, if you guys are like I am, sometimes I really get tired of the struggle. Don't you? Why do we have to visit this again, God? I mean, didn't we just look at this 3 years ago in a different context? And yet, it's that working out our salvation. And I don't mean my effort, I mean God working with us in that effort to overcome it. Let's look at another contrast here. It's called the contrast of fear and punishment. So the Bible uses this, fear and love, and fear and punishment. Well, the idea of torment is very important. So I'm going to move from a natural fear I had, marrying and making a commitment to my life, to now a spiritual fear that happens. And
When I travel on the road, before I stand up and speak, I have a lot of people talking with me behind the scenes, pastors and different people like that, and they're just talking to me about life and things that they're dealing with. And I find this to be common, so I'm going to bring this up and address it with you guys here today. There's this fear that the enemy uses that comes against Christians and their very relationship with God. And the enemy seems to go through this pattern with Christians where he's trying to tell you that you're not saved or you've done something that God will not accept you, and he torments you with it. Now, why would he go about doing that? Because if you have fear in your relationship with God, your natural response is to withdraw from him, because what you do is you project on him that he's not who he is, he's more like the enemy, and that he's going to be harmful to you, and instead of running to him every time you have something going on. And so we find that the enemy actually uses the idea of punishment and torment to cause a lifestyle of fear in the believer so that they will retreat from relationship with God. And it's intentional. Right? The enemy just doesn't have as much power as he used to. All he can do is bug you with thoughts and try to do these things in your life. But if you grab onto it, it causes the natural response for you and I to withdraw from it. And so, let me kind of work through this with you. Worrying about impending judgment or shrinking from one's duty. Again, from my upbringing, because I had around been divorced family, I had actually believed that relationships just didn't last. Even a relationship with God, I was going to do something to mess it up, or he was going to be mad at me and reject me. Well, that just comes from my family upbringing. So now I'm going to Bible college in Colorado Springs, and I'm reading through Matthew one day. Have you guys ever done this, read a scripture, and you're supposed to actually learn from the scripture, and the enemy actually uses the scripture to pound on me? Have you guys ever had that experience? So three people are nodding. Okay, so I'm reading this passage, and it's in Matthew chapter 6, and they get to this concept of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And just, what in the world? And the language almost doesn't make sense. It says that, you know, you can cuss God out, you can cuss the Son out, but if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's it. And so everybody's like, whoa, don't say anything against the Holy Spirit. And the passage has nothing to do with any of that. Hopefully Chris will teach on blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But because I didn't understand it, I now have the enemy tormenting me for 6 months. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And this is why you don't feel near to God, and this is why you don't have a sense of God near you. And I mean, I would literally wake up in the middle of the night and have a demon or a demonic spirit saying, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It just torments. Now, if you know anything about spiritual warfare, it says that the thoughts that from the enemy are like flaming arrows. You ever wonder why Paul uses that illustration, flaming arrows? Because when a thought that is not true hits your emotions respond to it whether it's true or not. This is why a lot of people can't discern between thoughts from themselves, the enemy, or the Lord. When that thought comes in their head, they just think all of it's true, or our body responds to it. That's why the Bible talks about you have to grow in discernment. Where did that thought come from? When you accept a thought from the enemy, it hits your emotions, and it, in a sense, burns. You feel literally the flame. That's what torments have to do. It has to do with the flames of hell. That's the idea of the flaming arrows. It's like a burning goes on inside of you. Until you learn to resist it, you learn to rebuke it, and you learn to let God love you past it. Those 6 months, if you guys have ever gone through this, those 6 months were a nightmare. Because the thoughts just kept coming. I couldn't hardly ever turn them off. I'd feel good for a moment in the Lord, and here come the whole wave of thoughts again. I'm just like, this is torment. Now, the reason I'm being intentional is because most of the time as believers, we won't talk with each other about this. We all walk around like, yeah, nothing's wrong. I'm doing good. And he doesn't bug me. He might bug you because you're weak, but I'm not. And so I don't have any of these problems, and we're not going to talk about it. But the reality of it is the enemy does do these things to believers, and it's not what God wants for you, and God wants to set you free from it. So, this, at least for me, I started realizing that through that process of that torment, God was trying to work on, isn't this amazing? It wasn't the torment that he wanted me to deal with, because I was trying to figure out how to rebuke it and do all that other stuff. He He was trying to go, what caused him to come? So, you guys ready? Anywhere we have fear, there's a basis for us to accept fear. There's something going on in us where love has not been perfected that allows fear to dwell in that part of our thinking or our lives or our emotions or whatever it is, or in a relationship. And so the point wasn't blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It was the result of it that the enemy was trying to work on me on, that God had rejected. Now, because of my upbringing, the first issue I had to deal with as a believer that I had fear that I constantly dealt with is I had the spirit of rejection resting. And when you grow up in a broken home and your parents can't even function properly, there's a lot of rejection that's going on. I had rejection from my parents, I felt like. I had rejection from my brothers, my extended family, because of all the mess in our immediate family. We felt rejection there. Do you guys really, you understand what I'm talking about? And so I felt that if I had a relationship with God, I had to work at it. And there was all kinds of fear just gripping my heart. And it was because I had to deal with the rejection. So that thing the enemy was feeding in, even though he was trying to use that to destroy me, it was pushing me to come to God so that he would take me through a maturing process to break the power of rejection inside of me. And he did it. It was amazing how he did it. In fact, if you've ever had an area of fear that you've struggled with for a long period of time, a lot of Christians believe, man, I guess I just have to deal with this the rest of my life. And I want to say something that's probably good news to some of you here today. That's not what God ultimately intends for you. He wants to set you free from things that are going on in your mind. He does not want you afraid. In fact, he wants you full of love, joy, and peace, hope, and faith. And so that's God's intention for you. But he has to take you through the process of it. And here's the point that we need to understand. Let me finish with the last one. Fear, the general concept of fear, has to do with worrying. Now, guys, I was actually going to write a whole bunch of sermons on fear, anxiety, and worry, but I realized there's not a lot to write on it in Scripture's perspective. Worry and anxiety are the same word in the Greek New Testament. So some translators translate sometimes worry, sometimes they translate it anxiety. The reality of it is they're both the same concept. Why do we worry or why do we have anxiety? The basis of it is fear. And so the reason I have anxiety about something, if you look up the word anxiety in the New Testament, it means you're being pulled apart in several different directions. Okay, now, why are you going, but what does that mean? Well, that means this. God is going to do something in your life that's good. You don't believe it's going to go that way, so your emotions go another direction. And then your thoughts probably go another direction. So when you look at something, you can't even process through it because you're kind of a multi-personality person going on in a situation. You're just going 100 different directions and you have no rest. That's what anxiety and worry is about. Not coming into a place of rest. God wants to bring you into a place of rest, and the basis of that is fear. So, sometimes when I tell these stories about my family, I wonder if you guys think, boy, he must have just lived in like a Nazi concentration camp. It wasn't all bad. I'm pointing out specific things. One of my relatives that used to live in Denver, Colorado, obviously they've passed on and went to be with the Lord. They were Christians, but they perfected the ministry of worry. What do I mean by that? If they didn't have something to worry, this is a Christian. It's one of my relatives. They modeled this. If there wasn't something to worry about, they would sit down and talk until they could find something to worry about. If everything was going good, they had to project into the future that, guess what's going to happen? This is going to come into destruction, so let's start worrying about it now. And they had done such a good job of the ministry of worry that the descendants from them started getting ulcers because they even excelled in it. And now I'm the third generation of this group of people that are being taught as a lifestyle, I have to worry about stuff. In fact, I'm being irresponsible if I don't worry and create ulcers inside of them. Did any of you grow up around any of that kind of stuff? Some of you are looking at me like, man, you really need a lot of help. Exactly.
So when I was around that whole constant worrying and that fearful environment, what God had to do
is he started showing me that each time I embraced fear, I was literally building a forest to dwell in, of fear. Every time I embraced fear, it's like a chain was put around me, and then I'd go to another level of fear, and then another level of fear, another level of worry, another level of anxiety. And I just thought, you know, that's just how everybody lives. And I'd start talking to some Christians, and they'd really bug me because they weren't worried about everything, and they weren't afraid of everything. And I'd look at them and think, now, like, how did you... And so I'd talk to them, and they'd tell me about their life, and I'd think, oh, the reason you don't have this problem is you didn't grow up in the environment I did. And then I'd run into other Christians that grew up in a worse environment than I did, and they weren't living in fear. And that used to just confuse, like, well, how does that work? Back to the original principle. Mature love, which is God himself, comes into your life. And we always say it like this. In counseling sessions, we go, well, God's just peeling another layer of the onion. Actually, a more accurate way of saying it is God goes to the different forests of fear that you've developed in your life. And he starts literally cutting them down. And what he does is he takes you to him and he says, now, let's look at this and let's just start working on this. And what he does is he takes love as literally an axe to all the trees and root systems of worry and fear you have. That's why you have to come around and look at it again, because he's going to the roots of them. He doesn't want them bearing any more fruit. And he'll make you relive it, look at another dimension of it, and learn how to apply the process of his love touching you so that you don't have fear in that arena ever again. Now, I can say from this point, I was thinking a while back, how many years have I been walking with the Lord? So now we've been doing this for more than 30 years. I've been walking with Jesus. And there are whole arenas in my life where I used to just give myself to fear, worry, and anxiety. I can tell God has delivered me from it. I can literally evaluate my soul and say, I'm not in that place anymore. In fact, there's not even any warfare that goes around it, because if the enemy tries to come into that arena, I don't even pay attention to it. I just think, you've got to be, that's like a gnat. And that used to just terrorize me, and now it's like a gnat. Whoa, listen to that weird, stupid thought. That's not even the Lord. That's where Jesus wants you to go. Now think about this with me just for a moment. Let's get a picture of this. Could you imagine what it would be like if God's maturing love could just consistently, you would meet it, accept it, and go through the process of it? What would you look like a year from now when it comes to different areas that you're struggling with? See, God is already intentionally doing this. He's just saying, now recognize the process of it. And instead of trying to push the process away, embrace the process. Go through with God that journey of letting him mature you and just receive maturing love. It'll change the way you look at things. It'll change the way that life is for you, and it'll actually make this thing that God has intended for you. And I see it periodically, and I want to get there. This thing about this continual river of joy I want to step into. I touch it periodically because I let God's mature love touch me, but I'm going to move past just touching it periodically, and I want it to be consistent in my life, and I know you guys do too. And so let him do the work. Would you join me in prayer for a moment now? Let's just pray about this. Lord, we've come to not only hear this, but now have you come and bring your presence to us. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring your power to us, Lord. And Lord, if you're working through an area of fear, worry, or anxiety in our lives right now, we welcome your mature love into this process. We ask that you would do the work that you're intending to do so that we can now step into joy. So do it, Lord.
And for some people that are being afflicted specifically by the enemy, I break the power of fear and I command it to stop. And I ask, Lord, that a cleansing of your embrace would come over us right now, and that you would bless us, Lord. Name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.